across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, September 16th, 2024. 50 days until Election Day, and it's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or through the Civic Media app or on demand by podcast. Though we know it's not through social media video feeds because we seem to have a streaming issue to both Facebook and YouTube so far this morning, but we'll work on that and hope to get our social media friends back in the audience as well. I've got a question for you. How are we feeling about the local sports ball teams? We had the Brewers that dropped one, a heartbreaker in extra innings. You had the Packers winning without Jordan Love. You had the Badgers probably playing, well, I won't say to expectations because you lose your opening quarter or your quarterback in the opening drive against Alabama, and you know things aren't just going to go terribly well, but. Are you feeling okay anyway moving forward at this point in the season? Hopefully it was a good weekend for all of you. The weather has just been gorgeous. We have so much to get to today. So much happened over the weekend, including, and this is probably the least known of all the stories we're going to talk about today, but we're going to offer some free advice on the topic of leadership, especially when it comes to being an elected official. Asked to help resolve a conflict between two groups of constituents. The free advice is don't compare some of your constituents to terrorists. We'll give background on why a state senator up north has now been banned from Lac-des-Flambeau tribal lands, a status normally reserved for drug dealers and criminals, because of the words that she chose to use to talk about a dispute up there. But then I think what a lot of folks are talking about are the events of this weekend, everything from an apparent assassination attempt foiled to Donald Trump posting simply, "I hate Taylor Swift" on his tiny social media network, and J.D. Vance basically ripping the mask off and saying, "Look, this is who I am. I make up stories about migrants eating pets because it's the only way to get attention." In other words, the only way to get attention away from things like how they don't have a health care plan, they don't have an economic plan, they performed poorly in the debate, and on it goes. And then later in the program, we'll talk to Dr. Chris Ford about the overdue need in Wisconsin to expand Medicaid. That should be a larger campaign issue, because for years, Wisconsin taxpayers have been losing out and money's been wasted by the Republican-led legislature by its temper tantrum over refusing to provide adequate Medicaid coverage compared to just about every other state in the country. So all of that, Kristen Lyerly, Brittany Merlot, Terry Bell, and of course, Greg Bach in Waukesha. So much to talk about with so many people. Mr. Bach, good morning. How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. It was busy. Did a lot of stuff. And then yesterday, I took some time to myself. I went to Farm and Fleet, picked up some stuff. Then I went to a local brewery and had a couple beers. And yeah, it was a nice weekend. How about yourself?
It was very nice. We only had plans for Sunday afternoon with some extended family that came out for a boat ride. So I was a pontoon captain. I was a grill master yesterday. Gotta love it when the weather's perfect for boating. Yeah. And the brats turned out perfectly. So it was a wonderful Sunday. Saturday was just I guess I'm at an age now where I get to use this word, puttering. I was just puttering around the house, you know, getting lots of little things done here and there.
Yeah.
And it was really nice. You need more of that now and then. I really enjoyed watching the Brewers throughout the weekend, even though yesterday, you know, ended badly, but the games were very exciting. A lot of people talking about Christian Yelich, spending much of, was it Saturday's game in the booth?
Yeah.
It was Friday night. No, I forget. But he did a great job.
That's
and
what
yeah,
I hear.
We obviously want him to come back from his back injury, but whatever happens in the short term, This kid's got a long-term future as a broadcaster.
I didn't get a chance to listen to him, but I mean, the people in the booth were happy. The fans were happy. Mm-hmm. And that's great stuff because you want to like see them be able, I mean, he'll be fine, folks. He won't be.
Oh yeah. 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 That's not, it's not that at all, but it's nice to know that, at some point, if he's going to spend more time in the booth, it's, you know, who did we just talk about? Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You know, he did not impress in the booth right away. Christian Yelich, right from the get-go. You could tell that Brian Anderson was just amazed. Like the entire first half inning that he was there, they talked about bunting and the art of bunting. And he was just like so impressed. He's like, I love talking to this guy. You know, we're talking about bunting.
I'm just going to put it out here. I know that when he retires, it'll probably be the MLB or whatever. But what about the next Bob Uecker?
Well, yeah, exactly. And I hope that that has crossed his mind,
yeah.
You know, because as always, like we've been saying in politics, you know, the torch has got to be passed, you know. The Brewers' magic number stuck at 3 because of yesterday's loss, which means they can't claim the division today, but they could claim it as early as tomorrow, and still chasing the Dodgers and Philadelphia to get a first-round bye. But here comes Philadelphia to American Family Field starting tonight for a series. So lots of good baseball drama there. I really don't have a lot of insight on either the Badgers or the Packers. I just saw bits and pieces of each game. And
yeah.
It's a little early in the season for me to get worked up one way or another about this. Even the people that are really getting upset with, you know, with the new Badger coach, Fickell, it's still early, basically. I mean, a college football coach, I'm not saying you have to wait three or four years for their whole recruiting class to come in, but you can't this early. Mr. Bach has an opinion on it, though.
I know what I'm about to say is going to get me in trouble, but I don't care.
Well, Monday morning at 6:13 is a good time to say, I'm done caring for the week. That's it.
I'm 46 years old. I stopped caring around the mid-90s. No, I know, but it's college football, so who cares? I had a great weekend, though. I want to care about college sports, but it's like trying to get into comic books at a later age. There's so much, so many teams, and the thing is like they have such a short shelf life on those teams because they're going to be there for 2, 3, maybe 4 years, and then they're gone.
You don't get used to seeing any of these kids anymore because they move on and they're just feeder, or they're now just feeder leagues. They're minor leagues, which is again why I don't spend a whole lot of time on this other than to say, how's everybody feeling about that? In the Up North News Daily newsletter, we're in Hispanic Heritage Month, so some news about supporting local Latino business owners and an easy way to do it from one Wisconsin website. And we have a link to last week's discussion on those foreign government deposits in Eric Hovde's bank. So head to upnorthnewswi.com to learn more. Eric Hovde over the weekend did two different videos while he was at the Badger game and he was at the Packer game. And in both cases, wearing gear, Badger gear, Packer gear, like the Packer gear especially, you could still see the fold lines.
That's what I saw someone say.
Of how he just bought it at the store. And somebody else noted that Eric Hovde has not tweeted about the Packers since 2012, which coincidentally was the last time that he ran for U.S. Senate.
Oh,
so,
God.
If you're going to pander... And again, if you're a politician, I've been one. There's nothing wrong with pandering, but don't go about it half-butted, if you know what I mean. I mean, get it right. Don't just throw on a brand new shirt and go, yay, sports ball, yeah. I'm here, you know?
I can't wait for them to toss the pigskin around the old squared circle. He sucks at this.
Yes.
He's so bad at looking. I mean, and the thing is I don't even blame the whole he's not of Wisconsin. Because, folks, he's not of Wisconsin. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But he's so robotic, and he suffers from the same problem I feel like J.D. Vance does, and it's a different level of weirdness. Mm-hmm. But he's just trying so hard to be natural and you know, like, hey, I'm a Wisconsinite. I'm a Midwestern. I'm a human being. And it just always seems so disingenuous. And then I saw a picture of Tammy Baldwin at the Packer game, just walking around, shaking hands, saying hello to people. I'm sure there are people probably like, I don't want to talk to you, but she doesn't care. She's a she's a professional politician. Yeah. She's from here. And I saw an ad, Pat, we talked about this last week. You talked about this last week. Saw an ad about Tammy Baldwin's partner won't release the records of the client she helps. I'm like, she doesn't have to.
Yeah, it's you're now looking for anything.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a plan of your own, which leads us, yes, to that weird, cringeworthy J.D. Vance interview on CNN. And he did a couple of interviews as well. But when he said, basically, you know, if we have to make up stories about migrants eating cats to get you to pay attention to the issues, .. And I guess at that point, I expected the Scooby-Doo gang to come out and say, all right, there we go. We've got our confession. He makes up stories, you know?
And I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for those meddlesome kids.
You know, pointing out things like they always talk about being against, you know, illegal immigrants, illegal aliens. The Haitians in Springfield, Ohio, were there legally.
Yep.
So I guess maybe that's not what you really mean, that, you know, migrants need to play by the rules, because they did, and you're still terrorizing a town.
Yeah.
And you're saying, hey, Pat, it's 17 minutes, you know, past 6 o'clock, and you haven't even talked about the apparent assassination attempt on Donald Trump. Yeah, in a state where they have weakened gun laws to the point where open carrying an AR-15 is called just another day in Florida. So if you're not going to do more to try to prevent gun deaths, then don't get too worked up when somebody gets caught with an AR-15, you know, near the golf course where the president, how did they know he was going to be there? Oh, wait, he golfs like every day.
Yeah.
You know, this to me is just all we're at now is we're now at Gerald Ford territory, where Gerald Ford was the subject of assassination attempts like twice within like a 60-day period or something like that, you know? And if you weren't always engaging in violent rhetoric and conspiracy theorists and weakening gun laws, we maybe wouldn't have these conditions. So maybe we need to try working with somebody else and try to tone down the rhetoric. But when you keep the rhetoric ratcheted up, people are going to take actions in some ways that maybe you didn't plan on, but that's the table that you set. So much more to get to. We'll continue to unpack the headlines next from Up North News, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. One of the Bellamy brothers has a birthday today. That's part of today's history lesson coming up in 30 minutes here on Up North News Radio. As mentioned, the Brewers lost 11-10 in 10 innings. It was a roller coaster game, rather exciting. The Diamondbacks had taken a 3-0 lead early and held it for a while before the Brewers came back and pulled ahead 8-3. So things were looking good. The Diamondbacks eventually tied it up 8-8. Brewers had a 2-run 10th inning to go up 10-8. But then Arizona had a 3-run 10th inning to win the game 11-10. The Brewers are still 10 games up on the Chicago Cubs. And now they start a 7-game homestand starting this evening against the Philadelphia Phillies. 3 games against Philly Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday nights at 6:40. And then 4 games, again, versus Arizona, but this time at American Family Field. So we are only 6 games into a 13-game stretch with no days off for the Milwaukee Brewers. The Packers, by the way, in beating Indianapolis 16-10. Greg, did you see Dan Schaefer's quote on this? That congratulations to Malik Willis. Since 2018, Malik Willis has more wins at Lambeau Field than the Chicago Bears. Congratulations to Malik Willis.
So any news? Have the Bears decided to fire their brand new quarterback? Any news on that?
It's only a matter. Maybe by lunch, something like that. I did not stay up for the full Emmy Awards last night. Again, only long enough to say, what show is that? What show is that? What show is that? Where did that show come from? It reminded me that not only are there plenty of shows that I haven't seen because of all the streaming services, there are plenty that we have started, but then just kind of stopped and never came back to.
Yeah.
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Barry, Shrinking, The Upload, The Morning Show, Only Murders in the Building, The Kaminsky Method, Palm Royale. We still have Lessons in Chemistry. We still haven't started The Bear or Hacks, but we will. As I was making this list, I'm like, the only ones we really started and finished are Ted Lasso and Wednesday, the one with Jenny Ortega. Oh,
yeah.
Which is really good. But there's so many of these. We start them, and then we just kind of like fall off, and because it's not like appointment viewing, like it's Wednesday at 7 o'clock, so we're gonna watch this, and we just haven't come back to any of them.
The only way I really like get the shows like that is when Bridget and I make a real concerted effort to watch them together. We'll watch Ted Lasso is one, Acapulco, which is on Apple TV Plus, Only Murders in the Building we're always caught up on, but Palm Royale, watch the first episode. Sugar, watch the first episode. I watched the first episode of that new Dan Brown show they did for like the Robert Langdon thing on Peacock. I watched it halfway through. I'm like, why am I watching this? I don't care about this.
That's fair.
I just wanted to try to find like, hey, I'll pick a show and just go for it. And I'm like, this was a mistake. And
yeah.
I feel like the Emmys should just now be called the yearly reminder that people always say this. Why do they call The Bear a comedy? It's every year.
Well, is it?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. See, nowadays.
I think Sherry said it well last night. It's like, I feel like Hollywood or the industry has forgotten what a comedy is. They're the ones that appear to have lost touch. Like if anything gets a chuckle in it, it's now a comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, again, you can't measure it by number of jokes, but maybe N is more than zero should be the formula if you're going to try to be funny, not just something funny happens while you're otherwise serious and yelling at each other.
Well, I think a lot of Emmy award-winning shows nowadays, like when it comes to comedy, not a lot of like three-camera sitcom studios. It's your Modern Families. It's your The Bear. Yeah. It's the show with the creek that I almost said out loud, and I'm not going to because even though it's a show, I don't care. But like... It's now so nuanced with regard to comedy and what like indicates a comedy that, yeah, if you have a lighter tone, and The Bear does. The Bear has serious tone and lighter tones, so I guess it works, but I don't know. Like, I just, at the end of the day, The Bear's going to win, John Oliver's going to beat all the late night shows, and that's it. That's my end of the industry.
And that's just it. When there stop being any further surprises. I do one other entertainment note, because then we have nothing but politics the rest of the morning here. But this little video clip, I only know of the band Jane's Addiction. I know next to nothing else about it. But the fight where the one guy just comes over and punches his partner, and basically it's like the show is over and the band is probably over at this point. Not something you see every day.
Well, Pat, if... So I know,
and people were like, "Is that Oasis?" No. Oasis is talking to each other now. So,
well, a big check can do that, and
yes, it can.
I know a fair amount of Jane's Addiction. In fact, a Jane's Addiction song is our opening song on Matinee on Air. But this band should not reunite anymore. They haven't released a new album in like 15 years, and before that it was 10 years. Like, this is not a band that does well together. People love the nostalgia about it. But the fact that they got into a fight on stage does not shock me at all. And it was over the fact that they were too loud for this vocalist, Perry Farrell. And like, guys, you know what? Just call it a day. Just be done. You're all rich. You're all fine. No one needs this. And now it's the thing of like, if they ever get back together, people are going to wait. Are they going to get into a fight again? They're 50 and 60 year old men fighting.
Yeah. I mean, it was just sad, and it again is the era that we live in, that, you know, the only reason we talk about the Eagles nearly coming to blows is that there was one camera on that particular concert back in 1980. So many other things, we say all the time, thank God when we went to college there weren't camera phones. And it's not to say that we were wild and reckless, but just when those moments, whether of high drama or lots of fun, not everything has to be on video. But nowadays, like it or not, everything is on video.
Yeah.
And ends up becoming, you know, part of the news. I don't really know how to put in perspective the note about Donald Trump simply posting "I hate Taylor Swift," except to say this: if J.D. Vance is continuing to ratchet up hatred toward his own constituents in Ohio, and now you've got people who are Donald Trump supporters upset that there was this apparent assassination attempt yesterday, putting up a post that you hate a popular singer is really not in anyone's best interest, you know, in terms of where the rhetoric is, to which Elon Musk basically said, you know, hold my beer, and put up something on the platform that he runs that said something along the lines of, you know, how come nobody's trying to assassinate Biden? Here it is. And no one is even trying to assassinate Biden, Kamala. He put that on his own platform. And if he hasn't received a visit from the Secret Service by now, then they're doing it wrong. But I would venture a guess that they have already done some kind of an outreach to say, this is your warning, and nothing better happen as a result of it. So, again, you don't have to like Taylor Swift, her music. You don't have to like her endorsement. You don't have to like Swifties. But when you actually want to tweet, I hate somebody, and you do it in what is already a toxic and sometimes violent political environment, you're making things worse, and you're not helping your own cause. It's not going to gain you any extra votes.
I guarantee you Taylor's security is probably doubled now.
Oh, at least, you know. I mean, she was at the Kansas City game yesterday, but, you know, we'll just have to see how further appearances go. Hopefully, Kristen Lilley will be dropping in as we continue unpacking the news here on Up North News Radio. Back in a bit.
Oh, thank you so much. Are you still enjoying yourselves a little?
B.B. King.
Thank you.
Is part of today's history lesson.
I need your help on this one, then. You have to help me. I have to have your help on this one if you want the thrill.
Go get a new album today if you don't have this in your collection. B.B. King, live at San Quentin. That is your public service announcement for today. Go get B.B. King live at San Quentin. Back now on Up North News Radio. It's Monday, September 16th. The thrill is here. Joining us from somewhere up on the Iron Range, Kristen Lilley, OBGYN, candidate for Congress, avid Packer fan. How are you?
I'm so good. It's Monday again.
Do we call you Swiftie as well? Or are you like officially a Swiftie? Or
I don't know. What makes you officially a Swiftie?
Do you like Taylor Swift?
I do.
Then that's it.
All right. Okay. There you go.
I guess I'm a Swiftie.
I guess I just don't think it's very healthy, even if you're not a fan of somebody, you know, or if somebody, you know, that you don't like, Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy. Okay. I don't think it would be helpful for Kamala Harris to put up, I hate Mike Lindell. It's not a helpful thing to put up. But Donald Trump is a man child, and so he put that up and made things a little weird that way. So we've just been going over some of the headlines. I've got a few new things to go over as well. But first, since the esteemed physician is from the Green Bay area but could not be at Lambeau Field yesterday because of her work duties, did you enjoy the game? Did you have a lot of friends there? Were you there in spirit?
I was definitely there in spirit, and I was texting with my kids as things were happening, so I was tied up at the hospital, so they were keeping me in the loop, and then I got to watch the end of the game. It just means so much, you know? I think to all of us in Wisconsin it means a lot, but especially in Green Bay, it means so much to the community. It's the football team, but it's also the economy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, without a doubt, we had a story on just the economic impact per game, per home game by the Packers is just phenomenal. And, you know, it's a community thing. So, all right, well, I'm going to get to Project 2025 and a new cartoon about it in just a minute. But I wanted to read another story, and if Kristen or Greg have any thoughts on it, feel free to share. Normally, tribal communities, if they banish somebody from tribal lands, it's because they are convicted drug dealers or other criminals. Or State Senator Mary Felskowski, who was banished from tribal lands late last week for comments made earlier during a public meeting about a dispute over road access with the town of Lac des Flambeaux, in which she likened what the tribe was doing to terrorism and about not giving in to terrorists.
Wow.
Free advice. And I know that she and others have, you know, they sometimes question whether members of the tribal communities are their constituents. They are. You know, they have another level of sovereign government as well. But when you, as a state senator or a congressman, in the case of Tom Tiffany, continue to just, again, ratchet up the rhetoric and blatantly take one side at the expense of another rather than trying to find a peaceful solution, I guess you really shouldn't be surprised that when you compare one side to terrorists, that you're banished from their lands. So, free advice. I have a strange feeling that Dr. Lyerly does not do this in either the clinic setting or would do so in the halls of Congress.
Yeah, they were here first. I'm just saying. That is shocking to me. I mean, you wouldn't say that. I'm dumbfounded.
They're also a party with a history of people saying, well, is this person even born in America? And you're like, come on.
Right? Yeah. That gets us into the whole other Haitian immigrants, Springfield, Ohio thing. But again,
Wait, have you seen the memes? Eat the dogs, eat the cats.
Oh, God. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they're so funny.
They are, and yet they also remind us just how just how wrong and unserious some of these folks are. Here's one favorite social media post about it. It's ironic, this person writes, how this situation has given me zero examples of Haitians being low IQ savages and hundreds of examples of conservatives being low IQ savages. I don't think anything truer could be spoken on this. When you're trying to liken a side to pet kidnapping, eating savages, and it's not true, and you're putting up photos and video that is deliberately mislabeled to try to feed into it, and then your vice presidential candidate admits that they make things up like this to get attention. I mean, it seems to me that's where the savages are. Another one made on social media. All it says is foreigners coming to our country to kill our animals. And it's Donald Trump Jr. on a safari in Africa with a dead leopard. So,
but how do you counter this? Because it is truly ridiculous.
I'll tell you how. You take the Republican governor of Ohio, Mike DeWine, who is as Republican as it gets, and I mean in a borderline corrupt way. His son is on the state Supreme Court and does not recuse himself from cases involving his dad, the governor. But even Mike DeWine yesterday called it out as garbage, as racist garbage, and that those immigrants are there legally and that they work hard and that they don't deserve this. And it doesn't matter that J.D. Vance, their senator, is also the vice presidential nominee. There should be a move afoot to recall him as their senator. When you even got a Republican governor like Mike DeWine calling you out, you're being way beyond foolish.
You are 100% right, but you are using logic here.
I'm sorry. That does not
work with this population, which is why I love this meme culture, because I think that the more we can point out in different creative ways how silly it is, the more we can create that mass effect of people who go, yeah, this isn't quite right. Because just countering it isn't going to make a difference. We know that.
No, they do not like the mockery at all, Greg.
Well, for one thing, Mike DeWine should have said something the day after the debate. Mm-hmm. He put out a press release saying he was going to send money and aid to Springfield, Ohio. But he made a dig at the federal government saying, well, obviously they're not going to do anything. Well, it's not their problem. It's your state, buddy. We're not here to help you with this. And also, I am not a fan of the meme culture because I think it just pours more fire onto this conversation. It keeps it going and allows J.D. Vance more oxygen to say, boo, I didn't say anything wrong. We're lying, but it's fine, isn't it? I don't know what the right solution is. And I don't disagree with you, Dr. Lyerly. I think that logic is not the pathway. But the memes just actually get me like, yeah, we're going along with them in a way. Like we're keeping this conversation going, and Haitian parents are keeping their kids home from school.
I've always wanted to say this. Okay, boomer. So anyway, Craig's sounding older than me.
And rock
it's
and
so
roll
rare.
Music isn't the same as it used to be. And get off my lawn.
It's so, and we haven't even mentioned some of the more substantive things. Tim Walz was in Wausau late last week. He was in Superior over the weekend. Big crowds there. Kamala Harris is apparently coming back to Wisconsin on Friday as well. J.D. Vance is coming to the Chippewa Valley this week. So, I mean, again, in this battleground state, your vote is cherished like never before. Mm-hmm. But what I want to do next is play. This is a 4.5 minute cartoon that got posted on social media that I've been sharing, and we're going to keep our mics open for reaction. I don't have the source. I've been looking all over. I can't give it proper credit, but you all know Schoolhouse Rock, how a bill becomes a law.
Oh, I'm so excited.
What keep you're going to hear is a boy seeing a document. It's not a bill. It's Project 2025, or at least it starts out that way before he reveals himself to be the U.S. Constitution. But for now, this boy is talking to Project 2025. Let's give a listen.
Hey there, who are you?
Oh, just the most important document in our country's history.
You mean the Constitution?
Nope.
The Declaration of Independence?
Yes, again.
The Federalist Papers?
The Federalist, what? No, even more important than whatever you just said. Now sit right here and I'll tell you all about me. I'm just a little paper for the ages, a way to set the government straight. A short 887 pages on how to make America great. Again, by forcing again through the president's agenda, removing all of those who disagree, replacing with our loyal party members, and reclaim our great country in some. Give power to the president to authorize the government to legislate morality and wrestle back normality from Marxist ideologies that infiltrate our policies like gender, race, or anything woke. We're gonna abolish the Department of Education, turn the swearing in into a coronation. America's great salvation will arrive with Project 2025.
Coronation? You mean like a king?
No, it's called the unitary executive theory. Gives the next president unchecked power to do whatever they want.
So, a king?
Oh, let's not get hung up on semantics. Here's how.
Yeah.
Once that we've started the transition, and no one's left to tell us to wait, we'll go through every policy position, get rid of all the language that we hate, like civil rights, diversity, and unions, and pronouns to mention but a few. Defunding any liberal institutions that dare question what we do.
I'm pretty sure the Supreme Court.
Oh, the Supreme Court. That's a good one. Now, where was I? Abortion will be pretty much illegal, and reproductive rights will be gone.
Yikes.
We'll get back to the biblical ideal that a family means a daddy and a mom with kids. Repeal the crazy climate regulations that get in the economy's way, with everyone reporting to their stations on Inauguration Day. When we give power to the president to authorize the government to legislate morality, expelling abnormality like godless ideologies, protecting inequalities like gender, race, and anything woke, we're gonna abolish the Department of Education, convert the melting pot into a Christian nation. The stage is set, we'll be going live in 2025.
I can't seriously say all that.
Wanna bet? Come on, let's crack me open.
H-124.
Make more nuclear weapons.
H-257.
End the war on fossil fuels.
H-214.
Noble gun violence protection.
H-298.
Hungry kids. I love that they're citing pages.
Yeah. Defensive books from the classroom.
It's all real.
Make it hard to register to vote.
H-449.
Dismantle Medicare. Kill off the grizzly bear. Delete the term sexual orientation, gender equality awareness, a sensitive diversity, equity, inclusion, abortion, reproductive health, and reproductive rights out of every rule, regulation, contract, grant, and piece of federal legislation that exists.
Woo!
That's an actual
quote. Yeah.
And that, my friend, is only the beginning of how this makes America great. You'll be so overwhelmed with all the winning that you won't know what you've lost till it's too
late. This doesn't sound great at all.
No?
No, it sounds like a nightmare.
Well, I guess if you wanted to, there are still some things you can do to stop it.
Like what?
Well...
And now he reveals himself to be the Constitution.
Vote to save democracy. Stand against autocracy. And tell your friends and family, enough with this insanity. We fought too long to part with these essential civil liberties like privacy and equity and bodily autonomy and what defines a family, equality and empathy. And we're not going back, and maybe we can stop this radical abomination. The future all depends on your participation. That's the way democracy will thrive. America was made for you and me, so let's defend our freedom and our dignity. Now raise your voice and let's keep hope alive in 2025. Now vote!
Oh my God, that was so good. It's like Randy Newman somewhere going, why didn't I write that song?
Right. And you actually found the writer, performer, animator on this.
His name is Jason Kravitz. K-R-A...
Lenny Kravitz? Like, are you going to go my way? That guy? No, right. Jason Kravitz. Sorry.
Yeah, K-R-A-V-I-T-S. So, in a plethora of Kravitz.
Oh, how good was that?
That was...
You know, with citations.
Yeah. And what's funny is that the people who support Project 2025 on that side of the aisle have so little concept of irony and comedy. They're like, yeah, it's pretty good. I like that. That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Yep, that's what we're going to do.
Yep. He's got it. There's no joking here.
Guys, that is essentially a meme for boomers.
There it is.
Oh. Kristen, game, set, match on memes. Very well played, Dr. Lyerly. Selena Heller from Up North News is going to join us next. We'll be back. You're Up North. We begin today's history lesson with the number one song this day in 1972 by Three Dog Night. Selena Heller joins us here from Up North News as well. She'll tell us about some of the stories she's working on at the start of our next hour. Miss Heller, how are you?
I am good. How is everyone?
Everybody's great here.
Good.
This is Mayflower Day. It was on this day in 1620 that the Pilgrims set sail for Virginia from Plymouth, England in the Mayflower. Okay, time for the old guy to admit that he learned something about music. Flo Rida is 45 today. That's the whole reason for doing that. That's not what I learned.
One of my favorite things on this show is when Pat says things like Flo Rida.
Flo Rida.
Flo, okay.
Me too.
Florence Rida is 45 today. And I've heard the Good Feeling song over and over again, but learned a little something. Let's play the Flo Rida version of it first, and then we'll talk about what I learned. So here's Flo Rida's Good Feeling. Sometimes I get a good feeling. Yeah. I get a feeling that I never had before. No. Now, that's not Flo Rida. Flo Rida is the rapper who does all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Let's play this little song clip from 1962. Let's play it from the very beginning.
Okay.
I get a good feeling, yeah. Yeah.
Goosebumps.
I get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before. No, no. Yeah.
Yeah, I was yesterday years old when I learned that Flo Rida is sampling a 1962 song from Etta James. On that, you can run that ahead then and play some more of the Etta James version of it. But I just wanted, there. It's called "Something's Got a Hold on Me," but that's her opening riff on it.
That voice.
And then Flo takes it from there. Flo is 45 today. All right, so there's our little music lesson for today. Mark Anthony is 56 years old today, salsa and pop star.
If it's true, leave me all alone out here, wondering if you're ever gonna take.
another guy you're like, he'll never go anywhere. He's gonna be a pop star forever.
Well, he's been a salsa star for forever, but yeah. He's only had a couple of the of English language hits. Mexico's fight for independence from Spain began this day in 1810. So this is Mexican Independence Day, not Cinco de Mayo, which is a different kind of fight with France. But that's for another day. Let's see. On this day in 1984, a brand new TV series made its debut. It was just another buddy cop thing, but it was a little different. The cameras, the angles, and the soundtrack. Like, it had this song from Phil Collins.
Come on, everybody, do it.
Come on, get your eardrums ready. Miami Vice made its debut with a 2-hour episode that featured this Phil Collins tune in the air tonight, this day in 1984. The Metropolitan Opera House opened at Lincoln Center in New York City this day in 1966. General Motors was founded this day in 1908. And on this day in 1875 was the birth of American businessman James Cash Penny. Any guesses at what James Cash Penny's business was?
Making suspenders, anything? Canes, and big mustaches? James Cash Penny!
Well, only if he sold it at J.C. Penny. So the guy that started it all was born this day in 1875. The first rap song to ever chart on the Billboard Hot 100 was released on this day in 1979 by the Sugar Hill Gang.
I said a hip hop, the hip to the hip, hip hop, you don't stop the rocket to the bang bang boogie, say up jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat.
Now, they were at Summerfest three years ago.
Were they?
Mm-hmm.
Were you there in your like 1979 attire? Did you have roller skates with pom-poms on them? And
yeah.
Okay. Boston's second album, Don't Look Back, hit number one this day in 1978. David Bellamy of the Bellamy Brothers is 74. Richard Marx, the singer, is 61. Singer Nick Jonas is 32 years old today. And Brewers legend Robin Yount is 69 years old today.
Have you seen the movie?
To the kid.
Have you seen the movie?
No, I haven't yet. I'm going to see the movie.
Guys.
Oh, Kristen sent something in like all caps. Okay. Like, you got to see this.
So good. The 1982 Brewers World Series documentary.
It's called Just a Bit Outside.
Corbin Thomas is one of the executive producers, and this is a total labor of love. You guys, honestly, you're Brewer fans. You have to see it and see it in the theater and bring tissues.
I was going
to
go see it. Oh.
Bring tissues?
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's a baseball documentary.
Gorman. All right.
Excuse me.
Gorman
There's
Thomas.
No crying in baseball.
There is now.
Someone cut Pat's mic. Oh, that's me. Hold on one second here.
All right, I mentioned today is Mayflower Day, Mexican Independence Day. Today is National Cinnamon Raisin Bread Day. And I see a little ragamuffin behind you there, Selena. Is she a cinnamon raisin bread lover?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. How about Play-Doh? Does she eat Play-Doh? Or is it just cinnamon?
Not eat Play-Doh.
This is,
no,
okay,
not.
This is National Play-Doh Day. This is National Step Family Day. This is National Every Tattoo Has a Story Day. Greg, do you want to tell us any quick stories about any of your 37 tattoos?
I'll just go with the one that I've gotten most recently that I'm actually getting touched up this weekend. If you look at this right here, it says it's a guitar with the word thanks on it. That is Jimmy Rogers, undoubtedly the first country music star ever. He had that on the back of his guitar. He would show to the audience. It was his way of staying gracious and full of gratitude for the things they've given him. So I like that notion of always giving gratitude and grace to people and being thankful for what you have.
That's wonderful. That's a great tattoo story. Either
also,
one of you
also,
two.
Rapper's Delight, by the way, is 14 and a half minutes long.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. No tattoo stories from either one of you two?
Tattoos, huh?
Nope. Okay. Moving on. This is Recycling Awareness Week. And I love this one. This is Adopt a Less Adoptable Pet Week. So, you know.
Oh, my son did that.
Oh, okay.
He adopted a cat with too many thumbs and not enough eyes. She's very sweet.
I don't even know what to do with that.
That's That's put very well. I like that. And your friend, Dr. Chris Ford, is joining us at 7:30 to talk about Medicaid expansion in Wisconsin and how very much it's needed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for years we've needed it, but the potential that we have to actually get it with a new legislature.
Yeah, with these new maps. So he's going to explain the background and how much it could benefit. And last but not least on the birthdays, B.B. King was born this day in 1925, passed away in 2015. Much more in the second hour of Up North News Radio, coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And when you're dead, you're dying. So let the good times roll.